All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. All right, now to Becky Akers from the Campaign for Liberty and the New American Magazine. At the New American, her most recent piece, I believe it is called TSA Airports Are Only the Beginning. Oh, man, no, say it ain't so. Hi, Becky.
Hi, Scott, and I wish I could say it ain't so, but actually I just read yesterday an article or a report from the Department of Homeland Security called Privacy Impact Assessment Update for the Standoff Technology Integration and Demonstration Program. And what, you may ask, does all that jargon mean?
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
It basically means that DHS and TSA are investigating ways to take their nudie scopes out of the airports and put them into places like stadiums and bus terminals, places like that, where they can scan us as we walk past and we won't even realize it's been done. So you can see the applications for a wide variety of venues beyond bus stations and stadiums, shopping malls, your average street corner. So the police state is ramping full ahead in this new year.
God, this is just amazing. Wow. How much do these radiation thingamajigs cost each?
The ones at the airport that are stationary are $130,000 to $170,000 each. That excludes maintenance. It excludes installation. It excludes the personnel needed to run it. So just the basic cost of the machine itself, all of that, $170,000 per machine, and there are roughly 500 of them now across the country.
Man, that guy Chertoff is going to be able to afford his own private escape pod out of here, I guess.
Yeah.
He'll have a yacht, you know, docked at Diego Garcia where the Chagossians aren't allowed to live, and we'll all be slaves here, and he won't care because why should he?
Exactly. And he's got a bunch of cronies in the same situation. So a lot of ex-military people that are involved in the development and deployment of these machines. Lots of them making oodles of money off seeing us naked and giving us cancer. So that is precisely what's going on.
Well, I'm interested in that particular part of it. What do you know about how dangerous these radiation machines really are?
Well, a lot of the data that the government is putting out, a lot of the assurances that they're giving us that there's no problem whatsoever, and they're just like going and talking on a cell phone and you're getting no more radiation than you do from an average flight, is based either on figures they've pulled out of the air or studies they've just invented because they don't really exist, or flawed research. Some of the sources that TSA has cited as standing behind this assurance have come out flatly and said, no, the TSA never consulted us, or no, TSA consulted us, but what we were doing was measuring the radiation output for, if the machine is operating properly. We can't tell what it will do under airport conditions. That's the next thing to keep in mind. This type of radiation, let me back up a moment and just explain. TSA uses two kinds of radiation. One, backscatter X-ray, is the type of X-ray that you get in your doctor's office or the dentist's office where they shield you with a lead robe and then flee the room, okay, because it's dangerous stuff, can cause cancer. Okay, so that's one of the types of machines TSA is buying dispenses that sort of radiation. The other technology they're using is something called millimeter wave technology. That is only about 10 years old, and it hasn't even been tested on human flesh. They don't really know what it does. Some preliminary testing seems to indicate that what it does is unravel your DNA. So,
what?
Yeah. So if you are planning to have children, if you are either male or female of childbearing years, I would strongly suggest you not go anywhere near these gizmos. Don't go to an airport by all means. If you've got to fly, don't agree to go through these machines because they are absolutely diabolical in what they may be doing to an entire generation. What we're basically getting down to is that Chertoff and his cronies are willing to inflict birth defects on an entire generation so that they could sail on their yachts.
Amazing stuff. Well, so I'm looking at this article at news.antiwar.com. TSA coming to a mall near you?
Yes.
And this is a piece that links to a Raw Story piece about malls and hotels.
That's That's all based on a comment that Napolitano made about, now that we've conquered airports, these are not her exact words, but now that we've conquered airports, we have to look at other places like malls and hotels. DHS immediately, a spokeslayer there immediately came out with a statement, oh, no, 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 we're not even considering that. You know, that just wouldn't go there, but we know DHS lies about everything. So Napolitano, I think, is, and her statement is the one to credit here.
Yeah, I mean, she wouldn't say that if they hadn't been talking about it. She just didn't know she wasn't supposed to say that at that time or something, obviously.
Right.
Well, now, I'm such a cynic. I saw that there was something about Homeland Security and Walmart, and I just went, meh, and I didn't even really read about it, and... And yet, I see now in this Jason Ditz piece that the way he calls it, this Homeland Security video playing on the TV monitors at Walmart was actually encouraging shoppers to rat on the other shoppers if they looked suspicious. I mean, what in the world? How could any adult take that seriously?
Well, this is something that actually this originated in the New York City subway system. I don't remember when it was, but let's say 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago, signs started appearing on subways and buses here in New York, urging us to rat out each other. If you see something, say something.
Right.
And I always wonder what ad genius came up with that, because I want to grab a cop as I'm walking down the street and say, there's a mailbox. Oh, I see a bird. Oh, there's a parked car. Oh, there's somebody getting out of this car. It's like, is there any rhyme or reason if you...
I know. I
want to
see, like, the suicide rate numbers for the 911 operators who got to, you know, just yeah. give up on their life after this. Yeah?
Yes.
Forget
it. This is a ploy that was used here, and DHS apparently liked it enough to steal it and do it nationwide. And it is very much what you're saying. It's, trying to turn us all into snitches. This is yet another hallmark of the police state. It's something that communist China does. It's something the Stalinist Russians did. Cuba, any place where the police state is rampant, you will always find it urging citizens to turn each other in. In fact, I've read, now I'm not I don't want to hold myself out as an expert on East Germany, but I have read studies that say that East Germany didn't really maintain that great a secret police force because they just counted on the citizens to turn each other in, which they regularly did. So this is absolutely diabolical, and it goes along with everything else the police status at DHS are doing, spying on us, trying to get us to spy on each other. The Walmart incarnation of this was that Napolitano was on the TV screens basically urging everyone to rat out customers. If you see something, say something. This is extremely pernicious when it's citizens doing it to each other, not only for the obvious reasons, but because who knows what suspicious is, okay? At least a cop is out there enough watching that he does have some sense of when something isn't right. But you and I that mind our own business and don't go around spying on each other, how are we supposed to determine if somebody skulking around the building corner is doing something wrong, or maybe he just doesn't want his girlfriend to see the present he just bought her?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, people who are doing absolutely nothing but innocent activities are finding themselves on the cop's radar because the neighbor who doesn't know anything about them and doesn't know how to judge whether something is suspicious turned them in. You know, kids have long been a target of this in the public schools, especially with the drug education, where teachers urge them to rat out their parents. If you see your parents using drugs, contact a responsible adult. And they do. And the cops come and arrest the parents, and the kids are put in foster care. It's like, can you imagine anything more evil than this?
Not too many things. Well, they used the 9/11 commission. It was an outcome-based commission. Its only job was to recommend that we create a Department of Homeland Security at the end.
Yes.
And that's exactly what we got. Hold tight right there, everybody. It's Becky Akers from the Campaign for Liberty. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Ward. I'm talking with Becky Akers from the Campaign for Liberty and the New American Magazine. Now, Becky, could you give me a good footnote on that effects on the DNA from the millimeter radiation, something or other?
Well, I can't really, because there hasn't been that much research done. I can just tell you that here and there the reports I've read are indicating this is unknown stuff. The preliminary indications are that it does something terrible to DNA. Anybody hoping to have children or currently trying to have children should not be going through these machines. And again, the sources that TSA keeps insisting have backed up its assertions that there's no harm whatsoever are denying that that is the type of question TSA asked them to investigate, or even denying that they ever were contacted by TSA. So I wouldn't believe a word this agency says. It routinely, consistently lies about everything. I have caught it in actually scores, hundreds of lies over the years. So basically, if TSA says the sky is blue, I would say, no, it isn't, because TSA is saying it is.
Right. Well, and I highly recommend your archives at lourockwell.com and the Campaign for Liberty. I don't think there's a greater enemy of the TSA in America.
Well, thank you.
And yes, and that is the highest of praise. And by the way, I wanted to get back to the point before the break there, which was how they got this thing. It was the Office of Homeland Security, and the Gary Hart panel at the Council on Foreign Relations had already wanted a Department of Homeland Security, and the Democrats' talking point was that Bush doesn't take this seriously, and the proof of that is that he hasn't nationalized airport security yet, and he's only created an office instead of a department, a brand new agency of Homeland Security. And so then they used the 9/11 commission. They announced on the first day, this is an outcome-based commission. We're not here to hold anyone responsible or find out what the real truth is. We're here so that we can recommend the creation of a Department of Homeland Security at the end. I mean, it wasn't even sophisticated or subtle at all. That was the announcement. And then that was what they did, was they exploited the deaths of 3,000 Americans. And it's not that personal for me, but I know somebody who had actual good friends and neighbors who died there that day. And to have their memories exploited so they can turn the USA into the homeland, so they can, you know, get rid of the last of our Bill of Rights in the name of protecting us from this thing that, if the commission only done their job, and they could have really told the story of how well they could have prevented this if they'd wanted to.
It's
absolutely disgraceful. You know, that's going down in history somewhere. Maybe not, you know, anything written contemporarily, but 50 years from now, 75 years from now or something, people are going to look back on the deaths of those people and the exploitation of those deaths by this state in so many ways with, it seems like the worst kind of condemnations of the way we are letting our society be run now. Are coming down the pipe, you know?
Absolutely.
Kind of like the way I talk about the people who elected Roosevelt four times, you know?
Yeah. Well, they're partly responsible, too, because they got us to where we are today. You know, Americans just have gone along for so long with every outrageous demand from government. I was just writing a column before you called on the private sector now imitating the government as far as ID goes. Now, this is another recommendation that came out of the 9/11 Commission, and that commission, as you've noted, has been widely discredited. I mean, I don't think there's anyone other than the members of it who take it seriously anymore. But the 9/11 Commission insisted that TSA had to start collecting our ID. And, of course, all that does is allow the feds to build a dossier on every single human being who buys an airline ticket. It does nothing to protect us. The only way, now TSA will tell you that this allows them, checking your ID at the airport allows them to find terrorists. This is absolutely untrue. The only way it can find anybody is if you have already committed a crime and you're in the feds' database. But Al-Qaeda is on to this. I mean, we're not dealing with fools here. They are dedicated to their cause, and what they do is they recruit people who don't have a criminal background and who will not show up in databases. I mean, this is not rocket science, folks, and if DHS thinks it is, it's just more evidence of what idiots we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the whole point of ID is to protect the institution asking for it. And I don't know if you noticed this while you were out Christmas shopping this year, but this is increasingly cropping up at private merchants now, who, when you hand over your credit card to charge your purchases, I need to see ID. Now, I'm fascinated by what happens then. Have you ever seen a clerk take your ID into the back room and call in your driver license number to see if you're on some kind of national database? No. What they do is they glance at it and hand it back to you. What does that do? Now, it doesn't, it's innocuous as far as that goes because, unlike the government, they're not entering it into a database. But still, it's an indication of how far into a police state we have gone. We're just socially now, we're conditioned to hand over our ID. I actually had two experiences where I was in different stores with a male relative. I don't know if the cashiers assumed it was my husband or what, but when I refused to hand my ID over, each cashier asked this friend to hand his over. And I'm fascinated by what then happened. In one instance, the cashier actually took the ID and started entering all the numbers from it into her register. Now, I complained to the headquarters office, sent an email when I got home, because after all, this man's credit history has nothing to do with me. I don't know what it is. What if he's a very bad credit risk and this is now linked to my name in their database? Because I had already given my credit card to charge what I was buying.
Yeah. Well, so, but still, you know, the larger point being the atmosphere of everybody just giving up their ID all the time.
Absolutely.
When really that's not the way it was supposed to be, not when I was a kid. And I admit I have a few gray hairs on my chin here in January 2011. But still, it wasn't that long ago, it doesn't seem like to me. But here's the thing, too, though, is what if you were in charge of the National Police and your job was not prosecuting crimes that happened, but preventing terrorist attacks from happening? Well, of course, you're going to see every freedom of the citizen as an obstacle to you doing
right.
your job and protecting them. Every man with a skateboard, everything's a curb. You know, to a man with a hammer, everything is a nail. And to a cop, everything is a target for shooting at. Or, a potential suspicious danger to be preempted or whatever. This is exactly how they're going to have to do it. The only way to get rid of terrorism isn't to clamp down and turn America into a prison. It's to stop killing people overseas. And then that way, we don't have a bunch of terrorism. We can all just walk across the tarmac and up the stairs and get on the plane, just like back in the days.
And you know what, Scott? We don't have to take your opinion for that. The terrorists themselves tell us that.
Yeah, Bin Laden says, read Scheuer's book, for crying out loud.
Yes, every single time they launch another attack, every single time without fail, they say, if you keep killing our people, we will keep trying to kill you. I mean, this, again, we're not talking rocket science here. This is pretty self-evident, and the perpetrators themselves are giving us the key to how to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet our stupid rulers are such nincompoops, they don't listen, and they're also blinded by their own greed and by the heady power trip they're on where they control the destiny of billions. Like, you know what? Take it and shove it, guys. I don't want to die because you're busy building an empire out of foreign countries that don't want us there.
Yeah. Well, and you got the whole high-tech aspect, too, with more and more artificial intelligence and the cameras scanning your irises and whatever. It's going to start looking really Brave New World around here pretty soon, I think.
Yes.
Those microchips are getting cheaper and cheaper.
Yes, and I'm waiting for the day where they're mandatory.
Right. All right. We're out. Thanks, Becky.
Thank you, Scott. Always a pleasure.
Everybody, that's Becky Akers from the Campaign for Liberty. LouRockwell.com.